The 200th anniversary this year of the founding of the Russian settlement at Fort Ross has drawn new and international attention to the remote outpost on the northern Sonoma coast. Also has come this year the publication of So Far From Home, an anthology of historical documents, including letters, journals, and official reports from the fort, compiled by Glenn J. Ferris.
I've been studying Fort Ross now for 31 years, since 1981. So I've tended to look in a variety of sources, and these happen to be a selection of ones that I really treasured.
A retired state archaeologist for the California State Parks Department, Ferris used his own translations of original writings in French and Spanish while relying on others for Russian translations. He says he tried to assemble a composite picture of life at the colony by incorporating a multitude of viewpoints, especially from outsiders.
It's typical of any group when they're writing about themselves that they don't bother mentioning the everyday things. Everybody knows that. Why do you bother writing about it? So you get your foreigner. You get Frenchmen like Cyril Laplace, who comes in 1839, and everything is fascinating to him. Everything is new. He's writing about all these different aspects, and that brings to life something that if you just went to one source, you would be shortchanged.
He also drew extensively on the surviving records from the leaders of the Russian settlement, although Ferris acknowledges that this is a fragmentary resource.
Unfortunately, we don't have nearly as much of the day-to-day Fort Ross papers as we would like. There's a belief that a large number of the Russian-American Company papers were destroyed, the many wars and revolutions that took place in Russia. There was some story of whole wagon loads of documents being trundled out and somehow never getting to where they were supposed to end up. So the items that we do have are wonderful, but it's not nearly as much as we would love to have gotten.
Beyond those surviving official documents, he laments, there is precious little else in the way of written records from the Russian settlers.
We have almost nothing in the way of real letters back from any of the people here. The first four managers at Fort Ross were all bachelors. They didn't really have any family life. And I think that they really were people that were counting the books and doing their paperwork and may or may not have had anybody to write to. But if they did, unfortunately, we don't have the letters.
The Spanish presence in the region, however, offered much more. The California missions were expanding, and both church and political leaders had many interactions with visiting Russians. The documents from those encounters, Ferris says, reveal deeply mixed reactions, willing trade partners with the Russians from Alaska, but concerns about the nearer settlement.
They were happy to have a trader come in, bring his goods, buy their goods. But the idea of having somebody who was actually plunked down on the land and might be considered a danger to their claims for Northern California, that was another thing. So they always officially fought the idea of Fort Ross being there. But at the same time, on the trading side, they couldn't be happier.
Within the Fort Ross colony, Ferris says the primary concerns were not expansionist, but homesickness.
We tend to think this couldn't have been a more gorgeous and wonderful place to be in California versus living in Russia. But for many of the people, this was really not all that a comfortable thing. They thought that they were sort of at the end of civilization.
200 years later, Fort Ross is still a remote outpost, but the trip doesn't take as long, and most visitors can return home anytime they choose. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.